need the Lord this morning. Thankful for visitors being with us this morning. The Lord has laid a little something on her heart and a thought that God's laid on her heart today. And we'll have prayer. I know this has been all a little different. His services, Brother Josh told us this morning, we don't have no order. We've got a kind of order we set aside, but we let God take the order. And He takes preeminence, and we need to let Him do that in our services. But our thought is baptism. And today, we're living a time, for years, I feel like our preachers have been scared to death of the subject baptism. Because of what people may think of us for other beliefs and how they practice baptism. And then now, even amongst our own ranks today, that we've got to a point that baptism, if you talk about it much, then people get a little bit all nerved up about it. I mean, right off the bat, you mention it, everybody just, Well, we don't need to be that way. There's a such thing as scriptural baptism. And I believe we don't need to be afraid of the subject. I don't claim to be, to know everything about the subject. I know what our articles of faith teach about the subject. I know what I believe about the subject and what we practice about the subject. I believe baptism is, first, you must be a believer. We believe in it being a believer's baptism. I believe that it's total immersion. Water baptism is total immersion. If you're spiritually baptized, I believe it's total immersion. Baptism is total immersion. I believe baptism is done through and by the authority of the church. We talked about that earlier. We take you down to the water's edge and the church will baptize you. Not Jeff Likens, not nobody else, the church. That's where the authority was gained. I believe in a proper ministrator. I believe a proper ministrator, somebody's been saved by God's grace, and somebody's been called to preach. Somebody the church has set aside to do the full work of the ministry, just like they did Paul and Barnabas. They gave authority from the church to baptize. There's churches out there may not recognize me as much as you love me and think of me. They might not reckon me as being a proper ministrator. Listen, they have that right. Everybody's a local independent body. But this church has gave me authority to baptize and do the Lord's Supper. And that's the only way I can do that. I don't have no authority. It's through the church. So, all that being said, I want us to look at a little bit about baptism. And I believe that we, through the years of Brother Tony mentioned earlier, if you've been saved and you've went a long time without, I won't tell you right now, I don't believe you can get no kind of joy out of your salvation till you follow the Lord and do what He'd have you to do. And I believe we have people here today that are holding back on God. I want you to know the night I got saved, I got peace with God. That's what I got. The night I united with the church, which was the next night when the rejoicing started. And that's how it works. You ask that man right yonder. He went, what was it, 20 years? He'd been saved by God's grace. He had had peace for 20 years. But today he stepped out, took one step towards God and being willing to do what God wanted him to do. That's when the rejoicing started. That's when the privileges of being surely being a child of God and serving Him. You can't do it till you follow after Him. So I hear people say, I can serve God just as good at home as I can at church. That's a lie. And that's of the devil. If you're saying it, stop saying it. Because that ain't the truth. If you don't like what I'm saying, then I can't help that. But serving God, you've got to follow after Him. And when you follow after Him, then there's privileges in that. But we've got to do that. I want to read to you over here in the book of Acts. Last week we talked about looking for love in all the wrong places. And to be a member of a part of His bride, you first must have to be saved by God's grace, and then you must follow after Him in the way of baptism to be a member of the Lord's church. And then you must serve and suffer for Him. You can't, just because your name's on the book here at Hilltop does not mean you will be in the bride of Christ. I want you to know He keeps His book and His records will be different than Hilltop's. But in saying that, they have to be on the books. They have to be numbered with it for you to have an opportunity to be in the bride. And you say, well, I'm not worried about being in the bride. All I want to be is in heaven. All I want to be is know when I die I'm going to heaven. Then that's your prerogative. But I want to tell you this. He does not, I don't think He's never saved one soul and told them to go out in the world and do what they wanted to do. I believe He meant for everybody to follow after Him. Amen. To be a member of His church and follow Him in every way and suffer for Him. Amen. I believe that. Yes. And I believe the Scriptures, it ain't just something I'm saying I believe. I believe I can back every bit of it up with the Word of God. Amen. I also believe when somebody's saved by God's grace, when they have an opportunity, they need to follow after Him in the way of baptism. The 8th chapter of Acts. And the angel of the Lord speaking to Philip. Philip was in a revival there at Samaria. And I want you to know people were getting saved left and right. And God called him and sent him out for one person. And I want you to know, honey, if I'm the only one that ever got saved at Rocky Mount, honey, I'm thankful that Brother Porter's preaching, that I'm thankful he preached to me. Amen. But listen, he said, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, I'll rise and go towards the south unto the way he goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch great with great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, and who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, this eunuch was reading from Isaiah over there, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him and read of the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, in judgment, he was taken away. And who shall declare to this generation? For his life is taken from her. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, and whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said unto him, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said unto him, thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they were, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached all the cities until he came to see Caesarea. And that's reading down from the 26th verse to the rest of the remainder of the chapter. And he it said that he preached to him Jesus. He read from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah over there. And he preached to him Jesus there. The eunuch wanted to know. He said, did he speak of himself or another man? And he opened his mouth and he began to preach to him Jesus there. So I have to believe somewhere along the way. He told him, you have to believe with all your heart. He asked him the question. He said, if thou believest with all thy heart, and only if you believe with all your heart. I believe it's that way. I believe there's a difference by believing just in the mind and maybe accepting Christ and believing to the salvation of your soul. So we find that he preached to him Jesus, and he had to tell him about being saved. And I want you to know something else. He had to tell him about being baptized. He told him, after you're saved, you need to be baptized. I believe we're leaving that off anymore. I believe we leave it off in a great way. But listen to me, and you will have a hard time finding anyone that was saved that wasn't right after that took and baptized. Why is that? Because that's what God's plan is. I done told you he don't want to save nobody and then go out in the world and not live for him. He wants you to be a part of his church. So we believe baptism is of believers and the believers only. So he asked him, he said, if thou believe with all thine heart. So it's a believing thing. You must believe with every bit of your heart. I believe it said they went down into the water. And I want you to know, and they come up out of the water just as Jesus, when he went to John to be baptized, he said when he come up out of the water, the Spirit ascended on him like a dove. And this is it said, this is my son who am I well pleased. I want you to know, baptism shows that you are a child of God. It's an outward showing of an inward grace. I believe that in all my heart. I want you to know circumcision in a like manner. They was first circumcised of the heart, and that's what made them a child of God. But then they were circumcised of the flesh, and it set them apart from the rest of the world. That everybody would know they was a child of God. So circumcision never saved nobody, and neither does baptism. But it shows what's happened to you on the inside, that you've died and been buried and raised again to live to Christ. Amen. And I want you to know baptism that's done spiritually and correctly is a spiritual service. I believe when we're saved by God's grace, he baptized us with the Holy Ghost on the inside. I believe we're totally immersed with his Spirit. I believe that in all my heart. And then when we're baptized, through the authority of the church, and that is the proper authority, I want you to realize that's when I believe the Comforter comes about you. And just as it did with Jesus, the Spirit set on him, I believe it sets on us. And we're set apart. Jesus was anointed there when he was baptized. I want you to know he was anointed as our high priest and our king. And I want you to realize today when we are baptized into the Lord's church, then we are considered high priests. And this is our kingdom right here. We're a royal priesthood. Jesus, so you must be a believer. Those that believe, right before that, they called for John them to come down and they baptized them. We find in the scriptures, we'll go over here. I want to talk just a second about the jailer and Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas was arrested for preaching Jesus. They arrested them and they beat them and saw that they had stripes. And then they told the jailer, door, and you lock them up, and you put the, what was it they called them? I can't even think what it is. But and the multitude rose together against them, and the magistrates of their clothes commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them in the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safety. Having received such a charge, he thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. So they cuffed their feet together like the police would you. They fixed them in a way, no way they could escape into the inner prison, to the center part. And I want you to know, it said that Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto Jesus. I believe they began to shout, just like Brother Tony did earlier, going, whoa, whoa, because they knew they were suffering for him. And I want you to know, as the Bible said, a great earthquake come and shook the ground, and the doors of the prison opened. And when it did, that old prince, that old guard, he woke up and he thought, oh no, they've escaped. And he was going to take his sword and kill himself. But Paul and Silas come and said, do thyself no harm, we're here. And he said, men, what I must do to be saved? He said, if thou believest, thou shalt be saved. And I want you to know what that man done. He took them and he washed the stripes. He took them into his own house. He fed them. And they was baptized that night. I want you to know, you've got to be a believer. There was a woman down by the water's edge. God opened up her heart. She believed with all of her heart. And when she did, after that, what did they do? They baptized her and her household. That jailer, his household, got baptized. So baptism is not just something that he's saying, I recommend it to you. He commanded it. He commanded it. And for you to be able to serve him in a way and be pleasing to him, you need to follow after him and do what he's commanded for you to do. It said, I want you to know, it said that old eunuch, he went away rejoicing. That's the same way it happened to me. I got peace with God. They was riding along with that chariot. Philip had told him he had to be saved. And he told him, after you're saved, you need to be baptized. It was the same thing with that jailer. They, when they took him down to the house, no doubt they told him, you've been saved now, but you need to be baptized. It said that old eunuch come up out of the water rejoicing. I've seen that happen a few times. Baptized a few and them come up out of the water shouting. I just love that. Not that water saved them. No, sir, it sure didn't. But they followed God and done what he had them to do. That's where it's at. It's peace getting saved. The rejoicing. And so I believe, if I ain't mistaken, it said, and when he had brought them unto his house, he set it meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. I want you to know, when you follow after God, you can rejoice. I believe baptism is a total burial. The main picture of baptism is the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I do not believe, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I do not believe in sprinkling. I do not believe in partial immersion. That's why when we go down to the water's edge, I don't make a decision. But when we baptize one, we lay them down yonder, and we bring them up, I say amen. I look at y'all and make sure y'all say amen, that it was good, that they was totally buried, because it's a total immersion. You don't go out and bury somebody and leave their foot sticking up out of the ground. I want you to realize that. When you bury somebody, you bury them. Yeah. He'll pray for us. I hope and pray today that we might get a little more ground. It ain't no way I can cover all the subject. It ain't no way. But I want to cover just a little of it. In the Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? I want you to realize when you get born again, you've died to sin. This part in here on the inside cannot sin, so it's dead to it. It said you are dead to sin. To live no longer therein. Know ye not that so many of you that were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized in his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into the death. Likewise, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Here a while back, I preached on the old man. I want you to know when you baptize somebody, that's been put away. That's been washed away. The old man should go down the street and we should rise up and walk in the newness of life. I want you to realize today, that's why it's a burial. We bury them. That ain't the only place it talks about it neither. I believe we could go over there and read from it over there. I think in Colossians, it talks about being buried. I want you to realize today we should put away the old man. There should be a change in a person. I realize the tree that's in me that brings forth, it can bring forth good fruit. But I want you to realize today there is a sanctification process, and after you're saved, you should begin to live like people can see something different about you. Now, the Bible says we should place our light on a candlestick. You'll find over in Revelations over there in chapter 1 that the candlestick he held in his hand. Jesus holds the church in his hand. And over in Matthew chapter 5 when it says, I put your light on a candlestick, it means unite with the Lord's church and put your light there that it might shine out and people might see your good word. And you say, well, preacher, I just don't believe what you're saying. I don't know that we're supposed to unite with the church after we're saved and be baptized. You show me an example. There's one example that wouldn't. You know who it was? It was the thief on the cross. That's the only one it was, and that's to prove to us you don't have to be baptized to be saved. All the rest of them was baptized. You know why they was baptized? They followed God. Had those preachers, Philip, I want you to know, Paul, after he was saved on the road to Damascus, I'm going there, no doubt, going to arrest Ananias and maybe even kill him. And he was brought there on the road. He saw a great light. I saw the light, brother. I want you to know, he got there and he had an eyes laid hands on him and scales come off his eyes. He was able to see. He baptized him. He went straightway to Damascus to the only authority it was right there and got baptized. When Jesus, what did he do? He walked 60 miles unto the authority. Who was the authority? John D. Baptist. To get baptized. And it showed the world that he was the Son of God. When you should be excited about that eunuch said, what's hindering me? When they got to that water, he was excited about it. Here it is, Philip. Here's the water you tell me about. I must be baptized. What's keeping me from it? What's hindering me from getting it? He said, if they'll believe with all your heart. He said, I believe. Brother talked about this morning. I don't want to get in his testimony, but talking about getting questioned a bunch after he got saved. I used to do that. But you know what's more important than me know they're saved? For them know they're saved. I used to do the same thing. I used to just hammer them, just hammer, 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 hammer. And if you're not careful, you will confuse them. They'll leave wondering, well, did I get it? It didn't seem like Brother Jeff thought I got it. I want you to know it's up between them and God. If they say they believe with all their heart, if they've been saved by God's grace, who am I to lie to, or try to say they're a liar? Who am I to say? That's going to have to be worked out between them and God. So baptism is done only to those that are already believers. And it's to show the world they are a child of God. And I believe it's also to be baptized into the body. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But first, why would you not want to be a member of the Lord's church? You tell me one good reason why you don't want to be a member of the Lord's church. He loves you. If He saved you, He wants you to be a part of His body. He wants you to learn of Him. And that's how you learn of Him. How you unite with Him. And you come together with Him. Yes, Brother Josh taught us this morning on the bride, and I wish you'd all been here. A Galilean wedding. Yes, the marriage ain't complete yet. But I want you to know something more than just a girlfriend to Him. I want you to realize today He wants you. He loves you. He would have never saved you if He didn't. So that unit said, what's hindering me? What's keeping me? He was excited about it. He wanted to be baptized. I believe that jailer was excited. Can you imagine that? Here this jailer is. He's locking them up. He's done. I watched them be beat. I don't know if he's one part of the beating their stripes. And then he wakes up in the prison. He's shaking and he's tore all pieces. He's about to kill himself. He don't know what to do. I mean, this man's going through some stuff. Next thing you know, they come up to him. Don't harm yourself. And he said, well, what must I do to be saved? Why can't I be like y'all? Why can't I sing in the prison when I'm locked up in shackles? Why can't I be like you? And they said, what? He said, what can I do to be saved? And they said, believe. When you let go of yourself and let God. I mean, if you'll simply believe, you say, no, I'm not telling nobody to accept Christ. That's why He said, believe with all your heart. That's why He opened the heart of the woman. Lydia, I believe her name was. He opened her heart. I want you to know, how did He do that? He convicted her where she would hear what they had to say. And after that, she was saved and she was baptized, her and her house. I believe it's done, once again, by the authority of the church and the Great Commission. He told them, you go into all nation teaching, go all the world and teach all men. Make disciples. In other words, when they get saved, then He said, what? Baptize them in what? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them all things whatsoever I command you, lo, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world. So baptism is something we do through the authority of the church. That's who the commission was gave to. Everyone I baptize, I may say this and I may say that, but I say by the authority of Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church, I baptize this, my brother or my sister. When Paul got to Ananias, he said, Brother Paul, I want you to know, honey, we take our brother and we baptize it. And how do we do this? I baptize this, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we lay them down completely submerged, buried. And I'll look at y'all and y'all give me either a thumb up or need to do it again. And that's the only time. And they wasn't baptized the first time. They wouldn't. They wasn't buried. That's the only time we do it again. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 said, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who have raised Him from the dead. Now I want to go on over here. He said, he talked about being buried with Him. Who's he talking about? With Jesus. And baptism. And in the third chapter, in the first three verses, or maybe four, we'll read, it says, if ye then been risen with Christ, where was you risen from? From the burial.
risen with Christ, seek these things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What did we say over there a while ago? You're dead to sin. Listen, you're dead. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. So baptism is a burial. And I pray that we never, ever forget that. Amen. That we'll never get to the point that partial is good enough. Here a while back, we went to have a baptizing. We was going to have a baptizing. His one, two of the old boys was about like me. They was pretty good-sized old fellas. And we was going down there, Brother Barry, the water about this deep. And I said, I just don't know if there's enough water there to baptize them. There's a reason they call Rocky Mound Rocky Mound. You go up there when they're burying, digging a grave sometime, it's chiseling and knocking and bumping and far flying. It's rocky. And sometimes you think, boy, they're going to be lucky to get a hole deep enough to bury them. You've got, there was a reason John was baptized in the Jordan. There was plenty of water there. You've got to have water sufficient to bury them. One of these little biddies, we baptized one or two that ain't no bigger than this one right here. And you ain't got to have water about knee deep. You put them in there and you bury them, lay them right on the bottom. Sheila says, you put them right on the bottom. I don't want to bury them. I want them to get into the dust. When they come back out of there, they be changed, be different, like Jonah was. There was a difference about that man when he got spit up out there. His attitude had changed. Walk in newness of life. So we bury him. Just like Jesus was buried, the stone was rolled, and I want you to know we come out. And I believe also that we're baptized into the body.
Amen.
We believe this as Baptists. I read to you over there a while ago. We're going to read it again. Romans chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin and live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So I want you to know we're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into the body. I done said, when baptism is done correctly, it is spiritual. I believe, and I do believe, and that's where a lot of the controversy is today. I believe today that we must have scriptural baptism to have that spiritual baptism and to have the comforter. I believe that. Where things has got out of hand, I do not believe that when Jesus gave the keys to the church, he didn't give it to Peter. I believe he gave it to the church. I don't. When he said that I set my church upon this rock, he wasn't talking about Peter. I believe he was talking about the church. I don't believe Apollos. The problem with Apollos, it wasn't he was a bad man or anything. He never had no authority of the church. That's where the difference is. I done said here this morning, and I believe this, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, and I'm not trying to stir nothing up. I really ain't, but I want us at Hilltop to understand. The authority is in the church. It's not in the man. And that's where we've got confused at. Some got confused at saying that you had to be baptized to be saved. They took baptism that direction. It's wrong. It's wrong. I believe in baptism, but it does not save anybody. So I believe the authority lies in the church. And where the problem got there, Apollos didn't have no authority. I believe this church has gave me the authority to go down to the water's edge and baptize. I believe y'all have gave me the authority here to serve the Lord's Supper. And without that, I have no authority. My brother, I'm going to say that he's dead and gone, and I love my brother. I miss him every day. He died in 2013. He'd had 4 or 5 heart attacks. It finally got him, and I miss him every day. But just a few years before that, I told y'all last Sunday, I guess it was about him getting saved, maybe at conference. But he... A few years after that, his grandbabies had got saved. I'd went up there and they wanted me to come talk to his granddaughter because they afraid she'd got deceived. So I went and talked to her. And I was in there kind of preaching a little bit in his living room. And his grandson was in the kitchen and got saved. He came in there and told us he just got saved. And they're by himself. So my brother calls me and he says, I want you to baptize. He's so excited. His grandson had got saved. His granddaughter got saved. He called me and said, I want you to baptize me and the grandkids. And I said, Steve, if you'll come over, he'll talk church because I was the pastor to him. I hadn't been here long. I said, if you'll come over and you unite with the church and we'll go down to the water's edge of the church and baptize you. He said, I don't want to do that. Listen to me. He was excited. He was like the eunuch, what's hindering me from getting baptized? And I want you to know Philip had authority to do it. I want you to know that. But he was excited about it. He said, no, I just want you to baptize me and the grandkids. And I said, I can't. I don't have no authority to baptize you. I'm just a man. He said, you can't just go down the waters and age with us and baptize us. And I said, no. And he hung up on me. My brother, I loved him. But I could not do it. Amen. It was wrong and I couldn't take a part of it. Yeah. It's through the church and only through the church. No man. That's the problem what's happened lately. You're going to put it on a man and none of us has nothing. Because there's been men that's never been saved by God's grace that's baptized. There's been men that was drunkards that's baptized. There's been men of all sorts of things that are baptized. But our people has always recognized the baptism through the church authority. So I do believe we're baptized in the body. Amen. I believe it's a spiritual service. You may not, I do. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm fixing to be done. I'm going to probably read quite a bit of it. For as the body is one, in the 12th verse, 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members shall be one body, many and being many are one body, so is also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into the body, where we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, we be bound or free. He have made all to drink into one Spirit. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, that's what he's talking about, where he took two men and made one man. When he set up his church, whether you was a Jew or Gentile, you was all able to take of that Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he baptized his church with the Spirit and fire. And we're baptized into made to drink of one Spirit, and we're baptized into by one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. if the foot shall say, because I am not the head, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. He's asking the question, is it just because you're an ear, you're not because of, and you're not an eye, you're not of the body? Because you're a preacher, you're not of the body? Are you a teacher, are you not of the body? Are you an apostle, are you not of the body? That's what he's going to say here in a little while. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where is the hearing? If the whole body were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And I believe that. I believe he moves them and sets them where he wants, but he also gives you a job. And I was talking about earlier, no matter, I don't believe in all my heart, no matter how many names you have your name on the church roll, if you do not do your job, you will never be in the bride of Christ. Y'all pray for me. I got just a little further to run. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now all they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again of the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. I don't care if somebody just comes in here and just shows up every Sunday and all they do is ever pray. I want you to know they're necessary. They're that pillar sitting under the building that nobody may not see. They may not stand out like those two pillars on Solomon's porch, but I want you to know they're just as important as you are. Don't ever get to thinking there's any big I's or little U's in the Lord's church, because it ain't. They're all necessary. And those members of the body which think to less honorable upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Josh told us this morning how the Lord came to be a servant. That's what we are, to serve one another. He washed their feet. I want you to know I do not believe in a foot washing as an ordinance, but honey, I tell you one thing, he washed their feet, and if you wanted to wash mine, I guess I'd have to sit down and let you wash them. If it made you feel more humble and you got closer to God, then wash them. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lay, that there should be no schism in the body, no division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether members suffer, all members suffer. Whether with it one member honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ. Amen. Members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, and he did, when he set it up there on the mountains, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts, healings, helps, and governments, diverse sides of tongues. Baptism. Don't be scared of it. Amen. Preachers, don't be afraid to preach about it. It's an ordinance of the church. Why in the world are we scared to preach about an ordinance of the church? Yeah. If you've been saved by God's grace, what's hindering you from being baptized? I'll tell you what's hindering you. It's Satan. He's saying, sit there. Sit there. Don't get up. Don't you go up there and get in front of them people. They won't believe you no way. That's the very kind of thing Satan would tell you. What is baptism? It's immersion of believers. It's been totally buried in a grave. putting away the old man and showing the new. It's being baptized into the body of Christ and being a member of the Lord's church. It's being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's been baptized by the authority of the church. That's what the scriptures teach about baptism. That's what our article of faith teaches about baptism. And that's what we believe about baptism. Why is there confusion about baptism? Because there are so many different opinions. I can give you my opinion today, and it's worth about 15 cents or a plug nickel. And I'll tell you something else, yours is too. When somebody says, I'll give you my opinion, right then, I'm done. When they go read to me in the Bible, amen, what it says in the Bible, then I'm listening. What it says in the Bible, after we're saved, we're to be united with the Lord's church and be baptized. Amen. I don't know who needed to hear it. I believe we need to hear it. I believe our churches need to hear it. Somehow or another, we've let different practices scare us to death that we won't preach about baptism. You don't see nobody's being scared of the Lord's Supper. Why is that? Different practices take that the wrong way. There's people today, you know there's people that take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Why do they do that? They're trying to keep Christ in them. See, they're thinking they're getting in Christ by being baptized. And they're in his body, his church body. But they think they're literally being put in Christ by being baptized. And then they take the Lord's Supper every Sunday trying to keep Christ in them. That's why they do it over and over and over again. That won't work. Hereby, we know we dwell in him and he in us because he's given unto us his Spirit. He dwells in us and we dwell in him when we get saved by God's grace. That's when we become a candidate to be baptized. And not, Philip said, if. Yep. If thou believest with all thy heart. That is the big one, the if. Have you ever believed? Have you been saved by God's grace? We open the doors of the church. We're going to leave them open. I'm going to stand here. If you've been saved by God's grace, you have a time and place the Lord saved your soul, I'm going to encourage you today to follow the Lord and do what he commanded you to do. So don't be afraid. Step out on faith, trust in the Lord. That man done it. I done it. I was sitting right over here. I went back to the altar that next night. You care? I sat right here, and I wasn't lost. I couldn't pray. I sat right here, and finally, I said, Lord, if you'll give me strength, I'll tell these people I've been saved. And he did, and I raised up, and I said, I've been saved. And they all go to rejoicing and shouting, and they all thought I got saved right then. And why wouldn't they have thought it? Next thing I know, I didn't know nothing about church. I'm talking about Stanley King started coaching a baseball team, listen to me, that I might come to church and hear about Jesus and get saved. I didn't know nothing, but I knew I was supposed to join church. So I stood up and I told them I've been saved. Next thing I know, I said, I need to join this church. And they're going, and they didn't even make me tell my testimony because they thought I just got saved. And they said that was good. They said, no, I believe, does anybody, we all just witnessed what happened. That's why it all got confused. Went for years, and when I owned my call to preach, I'd tell them I got saved back there, not right there. That night, I stood right over here, and they said I walked a hole in the floor. I still catch myself doing it. We opened the doors of church, I'm walking. They said I done that for 30 minutes. Rejoicing, shouting, everybody shouting. I was shouting. We was having a big old time. You know why? I got to be obedient. That's where the joy is in salvation, is obedience. So if you want to
really get the joy of your salvation? Step out on faith. Follow God and do what He'd have you do. As we stand and sing.